Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Hello, everyone. There is a brand new feature of the Social Network Show that will, I hope, help me to get to know you. Until now, we've been making an educated guess about the makeup of our listening audience, but now it's time to ask your help with that. I'm going to give you the URL where you can tell me who you are in general terms. This is especially for you, listeners of the Social Network Show. The questions come from the folks who deliver our show to you. Libsyn, L-I-B as in liberated, S-Y-N as in syndication. But please note, the first question is optional. This is where it asks for your email address, and you just fill that in if you wish to, but otherwise, just skip it and go right on to choose from each one of the six basic population categories listed. Now, this might take 35 seconds to do, but I'm sure you're ready for that. And here is the URL. It's survey.libsyn.com/the Social Network Show. All one word, of course, survey.libsyn.com/the Social Network Show. Thank you for filling that out. Speaking of Libsyn, Rob Walsh of Libsyn is here today, as is Jim Nico, co-host for a day. And Rob is one of the top gurus of podcasting, or on-demand radio, as it can also be called. It is said that having a podcast will soon be as much a part of your business or cause as having a website has been for quite some time. So think of it as another way to expand your social network, to be of help to any size business, a nonprofit, or even your family. Rob, welcome again to the Social Network Show.
Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
Rob, Jim Nico here. Before we get into your advice for those that are thinking of or doing a podcast or even thinking of doing a podcast, what do you think a podcast adds to connecting with others that cannot be duplicated by other methods? Please.
Well, I think it comes down to there is more time in the day to consume audio content than there is anything else. When you're driving the car, walking the dog, working out, doing yard work, you can be consuming audio content.
Uh-huh.
And there's less competition. There's what, 400 million active blogs. There's only 200,000 active podcasts. So you have more opportunity to get to people in a day and less competition thereof.
400 million to 200,000.
Yeah, okay. So it's about almost a 2,000-to-1 ratio, bloggers to podcasters.
Oh, and you know what? Tell us about that comparison of women bloggers and podcasters.
Women podcasters make up about 15% of all the podcasters. Women bloggers make up about 52% of all the bloggers. If you do those numbers, it's like 7,500, 8,000, 7,500 roughly to one female bloggers to female podcasters.
Okay. So
if you are a female blogger and you want to stand out from all the other female bloggers, podcast.
Okay. Great. Well, I know Jim has some questions for you to field here.
I heard a really good interview with, I think it's the Sidepreneur. This guy is a really good interview. And one of the things in the interview that I learned is that early on when you were doing Podcast 411, which is quite a sensation, there was a point where you said that had you to, you know, the ability to do it over again, you may have gotten involved in an affiliate program to build your audience and your connections. Can you expand on that, like, and give an example of what kind of affiliate program,
well,
that kind of thing?
I was thinking more along the lines of an affiliate program to have helped Podcast 411, which business model was producing podcasts for others. So what, and teaching people. So what I would have done would have been more of an affiliate program than, hey, if you send clients my way, I will pay you X amount. So a referral fee back, more of an affiliate program to podcasters to have others learn about podcasting through Podcast 411. If I had to do it over again, that's probably something I would implement.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Than what so I originally did.
So you would, in essence, you would have rewarded people for their referrals, which makes a lot of sense. That's interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, along that line, is that something you recommend to people to make podcasting their actual business?
Oh, no, no. I always say if your business model is podcasting, there's better ways to spend your money. Most people that, you know, when someone emails me and says that they're getting into podcasting and as their primary way of making money, that story is usually going to end with a rope in the garage. It's not going to end well. Most people don't make money from podcasting.
Okay. So you are talking about now as a adjunct to your primary business and using podcast as another way of reaching your clients, your customers, and what can you tell us about that? What kind of traits would a successful podcaster in that setting have?
Okay, yeah. What I look at podcasting, in most places where people actually make money from podcasting, it's usually in support of their primary business model. There are a few, a handful of people that do make money from podcasting and very successful, but that's like the best way to analogize this is most actors don't make money from acting. Most actors make money from waitressing because most people don't have the talent to be the cream of the crop. Most people that get into podcasting, it's a hobby. And if you're lucky, if you're on a business, you can use your podcast to build your brand, to build your reputation, but that's for building on a different part of your business, not the podcast itself. A lot of success, what I would call successful podcasters, are people that took their podcast as a major marketing tool in their tool set and helped build their brand, build their business to take it to a new level. Manager Tools is a great example of that. Manager Tools podcast, and what they were consultants on the business side. And when they started with their podcast, it was to help build their cachet as consultants. And within a couple of years, they were fully booked and charging four times the hourly rate that they were before they started their podcast.
Interesting. That really coincides with one of the shows on the Social Network Station with us, Women Worldwide, where Deirdre Breckenridge said what it's doing to her PR business, her consulting and speaking business is just phenomenal because it's just a catalyst for her business gone way up since she started Women Worldwide. So even though the show is great in its own right, it really is helping her business. So it really confirms what you're teaching us here, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, and this comes back to the 2000-to-1 blogger to podcaster ratio. Everybody has a blog. You know, if you go into a room now and ask people, you know, any assembly, how many people have a blog? Almost all the hands go up. And then if you ask people how many have a podcast, very few. I think one of the analogies I used in an article I wrote recently was it would be like going to Madison Square Garden and what you would have is this garden is sold out and everybody in the seat are bloggers, but the 10 people on the court, those are the podcasters.
Okay. Nice analogy.
So if you've got the ambition to become an actor or actress in the world of Hollywood, you might make it to the top, but the odds are way, way against. Thank you for putting that in perspective, sir.
That's a complaint about a lot of, in music and rap or basketball, I suppose, too, the hope of being one of the very few that reach the top. Meanwhile, there's a lot of decent ways of making a living, and you can do what you love on the side. Is that what you did yourself, Rob?
Yeah, well, I was one of the fools that jumped in this full-heartedly, but I did it at the very beginning when it was brand new. I mean, you know, I started podcasting in 2004, so it was a little bit different than starting podcasting in 2015. And I was probably one of the first people to jump into this full-time. As far as I know, I probably was the first person that jumped into podcasting as a full-time job and left a day job for it. Again, I would do things a little bit different. And in the sidepreneur interview, if I had things to do over, I would have kept the full-time day job and let them fund my startup rather than jump in and try to fund it myself. But what I suggest to people today when they get into podcasting, you know, if you're getting into it as a full-time job, it's the wrong decision. Most people will not succeed. Get into it as a side job. Get into it as a hobby. Most podcasters I talk with are doing it as a hobby. They're doing it as for fun. This is not something they're looking to make money from. If they do make money from it, they're very happy. And you know, that's part of what Libsyn is there, is to help those that are successful, that have the talent to actually grow an audience, to help them monetize it. But most shows don't get to that level. I mean, what we look for monetization, to put in perspective, is we look for at least 5,000 U.S. downloads per episode to get ads. And the median number of downloads we see, the median is 170 to 180 downloads. The average, the adjusted average or mean, that's about 2,000.
So you've got those average.
Most people are not going to get to the level to monetize.
And the 2,000 is those, the real superstars mixed in with the most people. The largest number of people are getting about under 200. So, okay, but in a niche market, such as whatever the person considering the podcast as an adjunct to their main business, as a means of extending their clientele, it works. That may be a huge number. You know, they may be only looking for 10 new clients in for consultancy or whatever else. And if they have 100 listeners, that's going to be going to have a major effect.
I mean, if you have a podcast on MEMS and industrial applications of MEMS, you may get 50 to 100 people listening to that podcast, but those 50 to 100 are going to look at you as an expert on that, and they're going to invite you to talk at different seminars and events, and you're going to increase your cachet on that. You know, if you can pick a niche topic that you are knowledgeable about, having a podcast will make you not just look knowledgeable, but make you look like an expert, and that's going to only help you in your career.
Okay, well, in the second half of the show, we're going to continue to talk with Rob Welch from Libsyn and go into some ideas about what the ideal length would be or how to utilize different platforms to reach your audience. So thanks, Rob, and we'll look forward to some further thoughts.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back. As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet.
Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Rob Walt of Libsyn is talking to us about some qualities of podcasters and so forth. If you're looking to increase your social connection with customers, clients, or the public. And Jim, I think you said you had a burning question.
Yeah. I heard about Rob is going to be at NAB, National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas next week. We're covering the show and we're real excited about that. Rob, I hear that you're doing a sort of a special presentation. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, part of NAB, there's a show inside a show called NMX, which is New Media Expo, and I'll be speaking in their sessions. And one of the sessions I'm speaking at, my session is called Why All That Marketing Advice is BS. So I'm going to be cutting through a lot of the crap that's been thrown out there recently in the podcasting world about how to grow your show and really get down to what does work, what doesn't work, and why some things don't work. And I'm actually going to call out a few different snake oil salesmen out there trying to separate podcasters from their money, so to speak, by guaranteeing audience growth. And why that's not real and not possible.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. I know you don't want to, you probably want to save some of your fire, but just a point or two would be interesting.
One of the points I'm going to be making in that session, there's a thing called Twitter bombing, where people over and over tweet over and over and over and over links to their files, and I'm going to explain why that doesn't actually grow your audience, why Twitter actually is a horrible medium for growing a podcast. I've never seen Twitter actually really work in growing a podcast audience. And I'll be going over a few other things that people claim to work and how iTunes works and why iTunes is really the place as a podcaster that you do need to concentrate your marketing efforts on and how to best promote your podcast in iTunes and how iTunes works. I'll be getting into the details of how the top 200 lists work and how the search algorithm works and things like that. Right.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to touch on? I mean, that was actually going to be my next question, that in Android, but I don't want to spoil the wares for the show. But is there anything you can, like, we're on iTunes, but I know standing out there is really tough. Is there anything you want to mention about that?
On iTunes, Danny, part of what will help you in iTunes right off the bat is you have to have a good title for your show that makes sense for what people are going to search for. Having the cheese doodle podcast as your title means nothing. People aren't going to search on that. You want to have something, unless, of course, your podcast is about cheese doodles. But there was a podcast called the Cheese Doodle Podcast. It was just, it was not related to cheese doodles at all, but the person thought that was a cute name.
Uh-huh.
You want to have something in the title of your name that people are going to actually be searching for. Here's a great example. A friend of mine had a podcast. It was called The Fifth Race Podcast. And The Fifth Race Podcast was the first podcast on its subject matter that anyone had ever, had done before. And it was on Stargate, on the podcast Stargate. But nobody would search for The Fifth Race. by adding Fifth Race Podcast, an unofficial Stargate podcast, by putting Stargate in the title, he went from not being found for a search for Stargate to being the number one search result when you search for Stargate.
Uh-huh.
Don't get cutesy with your title. put in your title what the show is about, and your show will get discovered.
Okay. All right. So our descriptive title, The Social Network Show, it seems to be working out there, and that they want to learn about social networks. They do come to our show. So that, I get it. We're doing one thing right.
Well, Rob, what kind of traits do you think successful podcasters have in common?
That's pretty easy. They're all passionate about the topic that they're talking about. I mean, they really care about the content. Podcasting is a lot of work, a lot more work than blogging. If it takes you 5 minutes to do a blog, it'll take you an hour to do a podcast. So they have to be passionate about it to get an audience that hears that, sees, you know, and feels that passion and gets engaged with them. And then they also have to have good content, and they have to be talented. I mean, at the end of the day, if you can't put together good content, you're never going to grow a good audience, no matter how much passion you have or how good an editor you are. And marketing really won't matter. It really does, at the end of the day, come down to really good content on top of that passion.
I can't resist mentioning someone who I think is better at podcasting than I, and that is he's the star of Porter's Podcast. Happens to be the six-year-old son of Rob Walch, vice president of Libsyn. And I'm particularly fond of what he said. I believe it was at the beginning or on the cusp of last summer when he told his dad, and I could be wrong, but I think he said, "Dad, at 6 years old, I want to podcast every day this summer so I can make $1 million. I mean,
yes, he did. He did say that. And he was, it was right before his sixth birthday. He said, I'm going to podcast every day this summer. I'm going to make $1 million. He didn't make $1 million, but then again, he didn't podcast every day during the summer.
Well,
but
that was the problem.
I hear that from 36-year-olds as well. So he's not the only one that thinks if you podcast every day, you're going to become a millionaire.
I know, but I love his passion, man. I think he is going to be famous, you know. So I've heard him. He is the cutest podcaster in the entire world. And he must have learned from you. I mean, you know, walking around, listening. He started at 5, didn't he?
Yeah, he was 5. He came to me and said he wanted to do the podcast. I did not recruit him. I tried to recruit his older brother to be a podcaster, and his brother, older brother kept saying no. And he came to me and said, "I want to do a podcast." And I said, "What do you want to do a podcast about?" And he came up with the format for his show.
Well, I love it because he just asks questions. He takes questions. Yes.
Right. He just answers questions. People will call in with questions, and he answers them. And me and him will go and research the answers, and then he will answer those questions on the show. And he has fun with it. He's a little mini celebrity in his elementary school for it because of his podcast.
Oh, geez. Porter's Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Google it in. He's the future. I had to mention it. Thanks, Dad.
Well, I want to mention, too, that we've been talking about people using this as part of their business plan in another realm, you might say, just to kind of get the buzz going. But it's not just for profits that can benefit from this, right? I mean, you've got nonprofits, even families could add that audio element to their...
Over 10% of the podcasts that host with us are churches or religion or faith-based.
Ah, okay.
So we have a lot of churches, religion, synagogues, mosques. We have a lot of people that on the religious side that podcast with us because it's a great way for them to share the content they're already creating and get it out to their audience.
One of the things that I learned from you, Rob, and it's a reminder for me. I'm always going back over some of the things I learned. One is that you said, I believe, in this recent interview with the Sidepreneur, again, a great interview, Sean, I believe his first name is, you said something like, what really got you and got your passion into podcasting was the democratization and the ability for someone that does a podcast to reach anywhere in the world without really any big obstacles. Is that, can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. I mean, that's what really attracted me to it. And that's what, you know, Libsyn, when Libsyn started in November of 2004, when Libsyn started, that was their passion. And ultimately what attracted me to Libsyn and accepting a job with them, but it was about allowing everybody and anybody who wants to have their voice heard, allowing them to have that ability. And you can do that now for, you know, just a few dollars a month. You can have an account at Libsyn and you can get your RSS feed into iTunes and a whole bunch of other places and get the word out. You don't need an FCC license. You don't need an antenna or anything like that. Just getting it out there, and you get out to a much larger potential audience with podcasting than you can any other medium.
So that is where Libsyn comes in. Can you explain just where it fits in from the production? Someone records a podcast and records a period of time when they're talking about what they're passionate about, whether it be a cause. We've got some of the things we touch on in the show or have a theme, you might say, is preventing cyber abuse or cyber bullying, helping parents to know how to help their kids, and businesses, small, medium, large businesses, how to use LinkedIn, so forth. But so you record this, and then what happens?
All right, so you have a recording. It can be audio recording or a video recording. We support both. And then you upload the file to Libsyn. You add a title, a description, and you click publish, and it goes to what's called an RSS feed. And this RSS feed is managed in your Libsyn account. And the RSS feed is basically the treasure map to where your media files are on the internet. And that is required by iTunes. So if you actually see the podcast section of iTunes, none of those podcasts are actually hosted on iTunes. All of those podcasts are hosted on a third party, and that's where we are. We are the biggest of those third parties where people host their media files so they can get their podcasts into iTunes, like the NFL Network. All their podcasts are hosted with us, or Slate, and Joe Rogan and Mark Maron, a lot of the big names that you'll see in iTunes, Welcome to the Night Vale, Hardcore History with Dan Carlin. They are all hosting their files with Libsyn, and that makes those files available into iTunes when someone clicks the subscribe button.
Okay.
So that's where Libsyn comes in. It's the place to host, and then also to check what your statistics are, so we can give you stats. How many downloads are you getting? Where are those downloads coming from? We help you distribute your content.
Okay.
And, anything else that you want to share that about podcasting or about, you know, and by the way, you're at 411. Or do you want to give your Twitter handle or any other information, get a hold of you and learn from you?
Sure. They always follow me on Twitter at podcast411. You can email me very simply, Rob at Libsyn, LIBSYN.com, and ask me any questions you'd like about podcasting. And if you're going to be in Las Vegas next week at the NAB, you can see us at booth N7714. So it's North Hall, and that's the Libsyn booth. And we are in North Hall N7714. And I'll be there, as they say, I'll be there all next week. So come on out, say hi, and ask away. I'm happy to explain to you how podcasting works in greater detail, equipment if you want, you know, what some good equipment to use, and just recommendations on how to promote your podcast. At the end of the day, though, I'll say this. People often ask, you know, how do you grow an audience? And it really comes down to you have to have good content, and word-of-mouth marketing is the only marketing that works 100%. You know, that's the key, and word-of-mouth marketing works best if you give your audience the tools to promote your show, and we can talk about what some of those tools are.
Thank you.
Okay, and I think number one among them is an app for your show, right?
Oh, absolutely, because, I mean, Jim, you mentioned earlier the Android side. There is no native place on Android to discover podcasts. There is no equivalent of iTunes on Android. So if, as a podcaster, if you want to be discovered on the Android platform, the only way as a podcaster to be discovered natively is to have your own standalone app in the Android Google Play Store.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Man, you're always the most brilliant. Thanks for coming back on.
Thank you both for having me on. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay.
Okay, and to our listeners, please do go to survey.libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com/The Social Network Show, so we can get a better idea of who is listening. Please also give a listen to 50shows.com to hear important interviews with, for, and about women worldwide with dreams to live. If you're listening by way of iTunes or Stitcher.com, please subscribe to us. And thank you for telling your friends about The Social Network Show. Have fun and be safe online and off until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.